Just ask the Lord's help. Our loving God and Father, we just are so thankful for thy mercy to us and thy good grace. We thank thee for our Lord Jesus, our loving Savior. And we consider thy goodness to us this past week. Much to be considered and taken in and enjoyed in our souls and our hearts. We thank thee for all thy provision. And we just look forward to what thou dost have for us from thy word this morning, too. We ask thee for help as we would look into it and pray that there would be something here for us. Pray that our hearts would be engaged and touched and that thou wilt hasten us along in our path of service for thee, for thy glory. Lord Jesus, we just look up this morning and ask thee for help, for clarity of thought. And we commit this little time into thy hands. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, when Steve gave a good hearty good morning this morning, you tell everybody's a bit tired. So I'm in good company because I'm feeling it. But I don't think we'd want it any other way. It's been a good week. We've had a lot of wonderful ministry before us and a lot of good fellowship and time together, and it's been a real blessing. It's really been impressed on my heart as we spent the week together about how often service seems to have been at the forefront of many of the comments that were made, some of the scriptures that are read, part of our Bible reading as well. And that's what I'd like to talk about a little bit this morning with the Lord's help. Extremely practical, hopefully something for our hearts. And, you know, this is something that I think is so needed today. You know, I look around and seen a lot of busy people around here and a lot of willing hearts. Hands that are just full with being occupied with just things around the camp, helping out. You know, it doesn't get any more practical than that, and this is proper Christianity in practice, is it not? Something that we've all been called to. And so I'd like to look at a few scriptures this morning, and I believe a brother, if I'm not mistaken, had read from Exodus 4, I believe. And this is kind of where it got my thoughts going. And there's a question in there that I think is very searching for all of us, for myself. In Exodus chapter 4, I'd like to read it. We know Moses was an extremely well-used servant of God, a very meek man. The Lord used him in a mighty way. And it has was already pointed out, I enjoyed the comment by a brother who said that, you know, the Lord isn't looking for our ability, but our availability. And that is so true. And we know that Moses, at the beginning, when he was going to be called into this incredible service for the Lord, was somewhat reluctant. Maybe somewhat is giving him a little bit of a break. I think he was really reluctant. But nevertheless, we find here in verse 1, we'll start here in chapter 4 of Exodus, verse 1. It says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. You know, I love this little portion because it's so practical. I think sometimes we think that, I mean, what can I do for the Lord? Consider this brother or this sister over here, and they seem to have a real gift. And, you know, I'm nothing like them. I don't really have much. What can I do? And so we withdraw. We sit back on our laurels. And we let others pick up the slack. But I think the Lord would ask us this question, each one of us. What's in your hand? You know, a rod isn't something that's very extravagant or magnificent or anything like that. It's a dead stick. And God used that rod to accomplish some mighty, mighty works, didn't he? And I believe that God has given each one of us something to do. He has. And he's put something in our hands. And it's our responsibility to use what he has put into our hands for his service, for his glory. In relation to what I said about feeling quite little and not having much, reminds me of a portion in John chapter 6. I'd like to just turn to that briefly. John chapter 6. We know this story very well. In verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. There was a lad there, and he had something in his hand. He had a little lunch. And the Lord used that in a mighty way. He fed 5,000 men, it says here. And, you know, we might look at that and say, man, that's insignificant. And I guess to the natural eye, that would be true. But you know, the very smallest thing that the Lord has committed into our hands and into our trust, into our responsibility, if we discharge that and use that in a responsible way before him, in dependence upon the Lord, he can accomplish some mighty things. We may not even know it. And often we don't. That the service that you and I perform, even as small as it may seem or appear, or what we think it might be, is accomplishing some pretty amazing things. You know, those of us who see those who are engaged, you know, this world speaks a lot in business about being engaged. They want their employees to be engaged because those who are engaged are productive. It's no different for us as Christians. God wants us to be engaged. And so our view, our estimation of what we have is not really the point. It's what are we doing with it? And we all feel the effects of it. We all affect one another, don't we? No man lives unto himself, and no man dies unto himself. Each one of us affects the life or lives of one another. And as we move about, it's noticed. This little lad, small child, he was used of the Lord. And I just encourage all of us, not only the old ones and the young people, but also the children. I've seen many of you around here today doing a real practical service, and the Lord has taken note of that. As our brother reminded us last night, that he takes note of these things, of faithful acts of service, of speaking a word for him, or talking about the Lord. He's written it down. And at the end of the day, isn't he the one who we want to please? We want to please our Lord Jesus. Reminds me of that verse in John chapter 12. In verse 26, it says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." I think for you and I to have a proper estimation of what true service is, and to do it in the right spirit, it all begins right there, in following the Lord. Otherwise, our service turns inward, and our motives become selfish, and it becomes all about us. We need to follow Him. And I'm reminded of that verse in John chapter 1. It says, "In looking upon Jesus as He walked." And in 1 Peter, it says that He has left us an example that we should follow in His steps. And for those of us, most of us are aware of the Gospel of Mark and how it presents the Lord Jesus as the perfect servant. And we can analyze His life and see that here was one who was not motivated by personal self-interest, but for the good of others. And I feel that this is something that, brethren, this is proper service. And there's no greater joy than to serve one another. Some of the happiest people I know are engaged with serving the people of God. And as a result, they're serving the Lord. I just want to encourage us this morning to be engaged with that mindset that we are not our own. We've been bought with a price, and we're to glorify God in our bodies. We're to lay down our lives as a living sacrifice, because that is our intelligent service. It's not to live for self. We pointed this out in the readings in 1 Corinthians 4, that the apostles said that we preach not ourselves, but Jesus, Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. There were those in Corinth who were in it for themselves. And the apostle Paul, through that epistle, was wrestling with his detractors and those who would take away from his ministry, because there was an element amongst them who were all in for themselves and were giving the apostles a bad name, the name of Christ, if I could put it that way, a bad rap. But he turns away from himself and he says, it's not about us. It's about the Lord. And it's about serving others and laying down our lives for the brethren. The Lord Jesus, was a perfect servant. Never did anything for himself. And I think I know he is our model. He has left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And so with the time that is left, I just would like to look at a few things that I feel the Lord has laid on my heart as it relates to service and what should characterize us in our service for the Lord. What type of spirit should we have? How should we engage in service? And what does that mean to the Lord, and what is pleasing in his sight? I'd like to turn first to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42, and it says in verse 1, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth." This is quoted in the New Testament, I believe, and it's in regards to our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I read that verse about following the Lord in John chapter 12, again, we need proper perspective as we enter into the service of God. It's as though God is saying, look at him. Here is the model. Here is how we should walk and how we should act. The Lord Jesus left us this example and he says, behold my servant. You want to know something about service? Don't look at me. Don't look at your brethren. But let's look at the Lord. See how it's done. His soul delights in that blessed one. And as he moved through this world, as I mentioned, he did nothing to please himself. But he glorified God in everything that he did and worked for the blessing of others. In verse 2 it says, he shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. I think this is perhaps the first thing that comes to mind in regards to service that would be agreeable to God, and that is we should serve in obscurity. You know, the Lord Jesus, when he moved through this world, never sought the spotlight. His heart and his love went out to others. He was moved with compassion on the multitudes. They thronged him. And the world took what it could get from him. And his blessing went out to all. And at times when his popularity would start to rise, he would withdraw himself and move on to the next place. This is, I believe, something that God takes pleasure in, is when he sees one of us seeking to serve in a place of obscurity. It says that he shall not cry nor lift up his voice nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. It was never his intention to bring the focus to himself, but to bring focus to the glory of God. And you and I can do the same. You know, sometimes we might feel that maybe nobody appreciates what we're doing. Well, I can assure you that there is people that do appreciate your service. Dear brother, dear sister in the Lord. And maybe it doesn't seem that way, but I can assure you that people are watching and they appreciate it. But even if there was none, there is one. God's looking down, and he knows what you're doing. And as obscure as that is, trust me, it's something that he delights in. And that will receive its due reward in a coming day. When all those secret acts and all those things that seem like they've gone unnoticed, he will bring it out. And he will reward you openly. It says in verse 3, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. This is another thing that I believe should characterize us in our service, and that is a spirit of grace. The bruised reed, I suppose, could point to somebody who is of a repentant spirit, who has been afflicted. And smoking flax, the Lord Jesus was always careful to fan the flame of exercise. And when he saw something in somebody, he wouldn't stamp that out, but he would encourage it. You know, we speak about how we long to be on fire for the Lord. I just want to encourage us today that if we see somebody in a small little measure just trying to go on for the Lord, in some small act of service for him, that we encourage that. And maybe those small acts will eventually build up. Into something that becomes quite a bit larger. I believe it's our responsibility to encourage that on. And give a word here and there. And thank somebody for what they're doing. Lord Jesus never would snuff out small exercise. Nor should we. It says in verse 4, he shall not fail, or it could be translated, he shall not faint, nor be discouraged. This is another thing, is that he served with endurance and energy. We live in a day when there is much that is against the Christian. And if we allow it to get the better side of us, it's going to cause us to faint, to give up, to throw in the towel. And we touched on this in our Bible readings, that when it comes to the servant of God, we ought to be full of courage and have energy to go forward. We need that energy. The Lord Jesus was all in, totally committed. And you know, we're going to fade out if we're not all in. I speak to my own heart. I know what it's like, sad to say. When we are somewhat half-hearted in the things of God, and our service starts to lack, and it starts to fall off, and the things of the world start to creep in and snuff out that exercise. I think if you and I are going to have proper power behind our service, it's going to come from a place where we have to be all in for Christ. The enemy, I'm reminded right now of a verse in Daniel, I believe, where it says that the enemy would seek to wear out the saints of the Most High. You know, Satan is trying to do that, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, to us. Trying to wear us down. But God wants us not to faint, but to go forward, all in. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 50. I believe it was our brother on Lord's Day that read about the Lord Jesus in type and his ear. There's three distinct passages regarding that with respect to his incarnation, his life and ministry, and his death. And I'd like to look at this portion, which would point to his life and ministry in Isaiah 50. And it says in verse 4, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." The Lord Jesus had an open ear. Stands in contrast to the natural man who has his ears closed when it comes to the things of God. He's disobedient. He does not want to hear, does not want to listen nor obey. But the Lord Jesus, his ear was opened every morning to hear the words of God his Father, that he might receive instruction for the path and what he was to do for that day. And brethren, what an encouragement and what an example for us that every morning we should be in that same place of dependence where God would have our ears to be open. And I believe that this would bring out his obedience to the Word of God. How is it, or think of a servant, consider an employee who never wants to listen to their boss? Not a very happy situation. Not much is going to get done. It's pretty rebellious. Well, how about us? Is our ear opened every morning that we might walk in that path of service in a place of obedience to God? Have we heard his word? Has he spoken to you this morning? Brother Jonathan keeps asking us the question, "You ate breakfast. Did you read your Bible? Have you received your spiritual food today? Were you on your knees?" Something we need every day. We will stray from the path of obedience if we're not characterized by just being in dependence on the Lord, to hear his words by way of prayer and reading of the scriptures. And the Lord Jesus, as he has been a perfect example to us as to how to live in the path of faith and service, was dependent every day. And he was obedient to what God had told him to do. And so this is another thing I believe that we need to be characterized by in our service, is that of obedience. Let's turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Start at verse 45. "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite the fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This portion of Matthew's Gospel in verse 45 of chapter 24 on to verse 30 of chapter 25. For those who are students of this Gospel, you will know that this speaks of the Christian profession. And I've appreciated an outline that I've received from another in this little portion. And this first section in verses 45 to 51 bring out faithfulness for the servant. This is something that ought to mark us in our service for Christ, and that is faithfulness. And it mentions here that the faithful servant is one who is engaged, as we've mentioned before, and he is doing. He is busy. This is important for us because there are so many practical benefits that you and I get from being busy in the things of God. You know, I think we were making a comment the other night, a group of us, how often man falls into trouble when he is not busy in the things of God. We as Christians can fall into trouble. We ought to be busy in doing and being engaged in the service of God. And there's a real blessing behind that. And what's so striking in this little portion, it speaks of an evil servant. And I realize that this one who is cast asunder at the end of this little portion is an unbeliever who has taken a profession of Christianity. But I want to make a practical application behind it because I think it has something for our hearts. And it shows us that when we're not engaged and busy in the things of God, we have a tendency to become careless. I want to encourage our hearts today to really be exercised about being totally all in and given over to the service of God. This servant started to, this false servant, started to smite his fellow servants. You know, we might become critical of the servants of the Lord, of others. As we see those who are engaged in going on faithfully and each one in their small corner doing what they need to be, what they're doing before the Lord, often you'll find one who is not really engaged with the things of God and busy are criticizing others. I suppose that it might come from a place of envy at times because they see what the Lord is doing through them and they are a little bit jealous about it. But nevertheless, it has a tendency to make us careless Christians. Began to eat and drink with the drunken and so on. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him and in an hour that he's not aware of and cut him asunder. Again, the application here I want to make is that you and I need to have both hands full. It's consecration, is it not? Both hands full. And it'll be for your blessing and for the blessing of others. And I believe it will keep us from getting into this state of soul of being critical and abusive in our spirit to others. And what is so striking to me here is that it seems as though the servant fell out of communion with his Lord. And as a result, it affected his fellowship with his brethren. And often, that is the downward course. That is the moral order. When we start to slip in our service for God, it's because we have perhaps lost enjoyment of that fellowship that our brother spoke about last night, and we're not walking in the good of it. And the sad effects of that at times is we start to mistreat our brethren. We start to think of them in ways that is not right, and we start to criticize what they're doing. And that is not of God. So God wants us to be faithful. And to be faithful, He would expect that both hands are full in service to Him. Read in the 25th chapter here now. And again, I want to make some very practical, sweeping comments here. I don't want to delve too deep into this at all. We know this portion well. And it says, then, chapter 25, verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps while the bridegroom tarried, and they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I've noted in the New Translation that wherein the Son of Man cometh is not there. And that's proper because the Son of Man denotes a different line of things, and it's more a term of judgment. And this here, I believe, and He will come, He will appear to this world as the Son of Man. So it's really out of context. And so it's proper, given that we are speaking now of the Christian profession in its context here, that last section, that phrase, is taken out. But what I want to speak about in this little portion is being watchful in our service. I'm reminded of that verse in 1 John where it says that if any man have this hope in him, he purifieth himself even as he is pure. Now I realize that speaking of the appearing there, and we won't go into why that is, but the same holds true for us in terms of the rapture. We are expecting the Lord Jesus to come at any moment. Is there any greater motivation for us to serve the Lord now than that? To know that He may come today? And would He want to find us doing something that is not for Him? Challenges my heart. And I think if we live in that watchful attitude and spirit in our service for the Lord, that He is coming, He's coming at any moment, it's going to change us and how we serve. It will have its practical effect on our life, and it will engage us in the service of God in a way that I think has no rival, really. To live in the living reality of the fact that the Lord Jesus may come today. I remember a brother being asked the question, when do you think the Lord is going to come? And he said, today. He says, that's the only right answer I could give. Because that is the proper Christian expectation and hope. It's not next week or next year, it's today. And if we have that before us, brethren, it's going to change us. And it's going to motivate us because the clock is ticking. And we're closer now to the Lord's coming than we were 10 minutes ago. What are we doing in the meantime? Are we serving Him? And when He comes, is He going to find us engaged with His things? Or are we going to be surprised? And I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but are we going to be somewhat ashamed? Well, it's a challenge to my heart. But I think, again, to have His imminent return before me is going to change how I serve. And it's going to motivate me in the path of service for Him. And we'll read now in the same chapter from verse 14. This is another aspect of service. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. We'll stop there. This here would bring before us that we need to be willing. Many comments have been made, I've noticed. I think, Brother Matt, you mentioned in your prayer this morning that we might be willing servants. And the Lord Jesus here has committed unto every one of us something that we have in terms of a spiritual gift. And it's our responsibility to discharge that gift, and as to use the language of Scripture here, to trade with that talent. I think this is important because sometimes we speak of such and such a brother and that he is so gifted and we know what is meant. But the truth of the matter is that we're all gifted. The Bible tells us that as every man hath received a gift. And this forms part of our ministry and our service. And through the exercise of our gift, we will communicate something spiritual for the glory of God and to the benefit of the people of God. And I know sometimes young people struggle with this. Well, what is my gift? And they labor over this and they just struggle with trying to figure out, what am I? What is in your hand? Goes back to that question, I believe, that the Lord asked Moses, what is in your hand? And I say that because I believe that if you and I are engaged in the things of God, and we take what is before us, the mission field, if you will, of service that lays at our feet, right in front of us, and the Lord puts something on your heart, and He has put something before you, and you go ahead with that, I can assure you that if you do that faithfully, your gift will manifest itself at some point in time. And the more you trade with it, the more you use it, the more you exercise faithful service, the more your gift is going to be developed. And the better you'll get at using it. So I just want to encourage you, because this is extremely practical and I think needed, that every one of us are exercised to do what the Lord has given us to do. We've spoken of small acts of service, cleaning the tables, cleaning the bathrooms, doing all those things for the Lord. But there's another aspect of our service that involves our gift and exercising our gift. And I can never forget one of our laboring brethren, how he mentioned in an address, and I think it was to the young people, and how he mentioned, it was so striking to me. He says, "I believe that a lot of gift among us is lying dormant today. It's because we've gotten lazy at times." And I don't say that to be critical, because I know my own heart. But I think it comes from lack of exercise. I think of, in the Acts there, late in the Acts, and Paul was on the ship, and it says the fast was past. Exercise. Exercise diminishing. And something that we're not really too concerned about. I just want to encourage you today to be exercised, to do what the Lord has given you to do, and to exercise that gift or gifts that the Lord Jesus has given you, because you, dear young brother, young sister, you have a gift. And the Lord is expecting you to use it for His glory. And wonder of wonders, He'll commend faithfulness. As we have in this chapter, He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." How could it be? How can it be? Brother brought out the other morning that it is God that works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. All that He works in and through us is of Him. He turns around and He says, "Well done." I can hardly believe it. But that's what Scripture says. And He will reward us, brethren, in a coming day for faithful acts of service and being willing to discharge our service for His glory and to use what He has given us and to engage that gift that He has given us for the benefit of His people. It's our responsibility. And we need to be willing-hearted as we go forward in our service for God. Finally, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Well-known verses, Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant." This, I believe, is another thing that ought to characterize us in our service for the Lord. That is humility and lowliness. It's not about us. And it becomes awfully apparent when we seek to do things to exalt ourselves. But the apostle is encouraging his brethren here, and he says, "Let this mind be in you." You want to know how to quench those problems that arise amongst us, the contentions, the backbitings, the strifes and the divisions at times, let this mind be in you. That the very Son of God, the one who had every right, was the one that became nothing. He became servant to all. And oh, brethren, how this mindset is so needed amongst us, to be low and to be content with being nothing. The Lord Jesus became nothing. He became a servant. And he served others. He was humble. And we need that humility of spirit. This isn't a complete list. I'm sure there's other characteristics and things that we could point to. I know there is. But these are just a few things that the Lord had brought before me as I mulled this over. And with the comments that were made on the spirit of service and our responsibility to serve the Lord in an agreeable fashion. But I believe these are a few features that we ought to be characterized by, that we might receive His approval and which would meet His ideal as it relates to our service for Him. I'd like to read one thing here in closing that I have found to be a very, exercising exhortation for my soul. It's written by Jay and Darby. I'm sure you've heard of him. I believe this brother knew what it was to serve the saints. He says this: learn to grapple with souls. Learn to grapple with souls. Aim at the conscience. Exalt Christ. Use a sharp knife with yourself. Say little. Serve all. Pass on. This is true greatness: to serve unnoticed and work unseen. Oh, the joy of having nothing and being nothing, seeing nothing but a living Christ in glory, and being careful for nothing but His interests down here. Let's just pray. Our God and loving Father, we thank Thee so much that Thou art so good to us. And we pray that as we leave this place, that Thou'lt engage our hearts in Thy service, in a right spirit, in a right attitude, in dependence and obedience to Thy word and upon Thyself, Lord Jesus. We look forward to that coming day when Thou'lt reward every one of Thine own who has gone forward and executed their service for Thee in a faithful manner, and to receive that commendation: well done, Thou good and faithful servant. Lord Jesus, that humbles us. We just thank Thee for Thy grace. We pray that we would be happy to serve all, to say little and to pass on, and to be content to be nothing, so that we might exalt Thee, blessed Savior. We pray that Thou wilt receive the glory, and we know that Thou wilt in a coming day, that day that we all look forward to, when we will be with and like Thyself for all eternity. We ask for blessing now on Thy word, and we give thanks. In Thy worthy and precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.